Hi folks, this is Tony for the Minute to Midnight show. Currently I am coming from Pennsylvania in the USA. This will be my last video from here for a while, as I'll be heading back to New Zealand in a few days' time. But I think it's good to share with my wife Holly on the show. So Holly's with me to do this video. So welcome onto the show again, Holly. It's been a while since you've been on.
Yes, it's always great when we can do these together, Tony.
Yeah, it is. I think I really enjoy it, and I know in the past our listeners have enjoyed it too. I think 2024 is going to be a difficult year. For many people, 2023, of course, was, and there were a lot of overwhelming events in the world in 2023, and I have a sense that 2024 is actually going to be even more radical than 2023 was in terms of difficult world events and the challenges that we're going to be faced with. And having said that, with challenges, personal challenges that people will face, as well as things that come upon the whole world, we need to decide what we're going to do in terms of our stand on many things. And when the rubber hits the road and things get difficult, we will tend to do what we've already set our mind to do beforehand, if we've basically in a way programmed ourselves as to how we will respond to different circumstances. So a lot of that, I think, is getting our hearts right with God and asking Him for guidance right from the word go, and for strength and wisdom for the year that's ahead. So I know, Holly, you have some study done from a scripture on a topic you and I have talked about quite a bit lately, and you know, that is the trials that we've been going under and people around us, a lot of them are facing, and the opposition from people around us in the world and things too. So I'll hand it to you, Holly, to start with your message.
Okay, well, I thought it would really be good to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. This is definitely something we've been talking a lot about. I honestly know that this might seem really I don't want to say redundant to some people. Maybe people already know a lot of the stuff that I was about to talk about. But of course, it's so important to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And it never hurts to have a refresher and to reflect on these kinds of things, of like reflecting on Scripture. And of course, there might be some people that haven't heard any of this because you got your new believers out there. So I really hope that this does speak to people that hear it and that you guys are encouraged by it. Even if you guys do know a lot of this already, it's just what I've really been focusing on this morning when I was praying to the Lord. If we read 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." So when I read that, I started to wonder, what are Christ's sufferings and what do they have to do with us? The laying down of his life is Christ's example to us. It says we are to arm ourselves with the same mind. And what is that same mind? A spiritual mind, the mind of Christ. I wanted to share a scripture with you guys from 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So the things that God reveals to us are revealed to us through the Spirit. And we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. So to arm ourselves with the spiritual mind, where things are spiritually discerned, it's very much a supernatural love of God. The way that God can transform our thinking to transcend above the fallen man. It says, "For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Our suffering causes us to die to this world. I mean, that's not everybody, but when you're really seeking the Lord, I believe this will be the case. Personally for me, like, you know, realizing how all the things that we chased in the world would make us happy, we find out really it's just vanity and it's useless unless it's done for God, like using our time and our resources for living in the will of God, using our time wisely. It says in verse 2 that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So through the transforming power of God, we can become dead to sin, but alive in Christ. We become the new a new person, a new creation in Christ, living for God, not for selfish ambition or lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but living unto God, mortifying the flesh. And mortify means to put to death, to take away, not being controlled by the flesh, but walking in the Spirit, living in God's will for your life. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. So this is the old man and the old life. We are no longer slaves to the darkness. It says here, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? So even when we are looked down upon, ridiculed, disrespected, misunderstood, we are not called to fit into the world. Many of us are going through rejection, and I even heard the word coercion when I was praying, and that's when people try to persuade you to do something by using forceful threats. People trying to get you to compromise your walk and your faith and your morals and trying to manipulate you. It says here that in my notes as I was praying that, you know, it says you will be looked down upon by the world and Jesus was despised. Isaiah 53:3 actually says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Personally, I think we're going to find 2024, there's going to be a lot of pressure on people to conform, you know, to this world and the world system. And people are going to ridicule those that don't conform and that don't want to run after the things that they're running after. And so that's what I was saying at the beginning. We need to be prepared, I think, to make stand on our ground this year. And even if people think it's strange that you don't participate with them in the worldly things, we have to be prepared to stand up and stand tall and stand strong. So, yeah, that's just what I wanted to add there. So carry on, Holly.
Be prepared to be hated, rejected, and treated badly. But know this, it's because you are chosen of God. Count it as joy. Nothing matters in this life unless it is for the glory of God. He's building us up where the fiery darts will have no power over us. Instead, we will see the brokenness of the world and those who hurt us and pray for those who persecute us. People are still living in demonic strongholds and they have their eyes blinded by the enemy. The scales have not come off of their eyes. We should pray that their soul may be saved, that they shall come unto repentance and accept the Lord. You know, a lot of times Jesus is knocking on people's hearts, but they don't want to answer the call, Tony. They don't want anything to do with God.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's probably the majority of people don't want anything to do with God. We're in a minority.
Yeah, you will be looked at as an outcast. And with remorse, people will be so fast to judge you and ridicule you. And you'll be like ostracized a lot of times. There's a lot of people that love the darkness. They love the sinful walk that they're on. And, it's the children of disobedience that are going to be used by Satan to try to destroy our faith, abuse us, tear us down. But as believers, we know our identity in Christ. No matter what the cost, it's all worth it to keep following God, even if we are looked down upon. He is coming back, and this world is perishing. And let nothing keep you from finishing this race and obtaining your crown of life. You know, impurity, darkness, idolatry, abominations, all this stuff, the sin never satisfies. It only pushes you further into the darkness. So it's such a delusion that people would think that sin's going to make them happy, but it's a delusion that their sin is making them happy because in reality, sin is captivity and it's bondage. But when you think about people that are speaking evil of us, like the scripture says, even though you are surrendering your life to the Lord, these people, they don't want any accountability. And, you know, Romans 14:12 says that every one of us will give an account of himself to God. And that actually really spoke to me because that really makes me want to analyze my life and be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be accountable to God. Like, how am I living my life?
That is the reality, you know, and I noticed that. I'm constantly thinking about that. We are going to have to give account of every single word and action, and even our thoughts. That's kind of scary. On the judgment day, everything we've said and done is going to be brought to the open, and we aren't going to be able to just escape and hide from it. And those of us that are Christians, you know, we will still face some consequences, I think, even though we're saved, and it may not, you know, impact our overall salvation, but it will impact our rewards in the next life. But those that aren't saved, that don't know the Lord, when it comes to the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment at the end, having to give account, that'll be a fearful thing. It will, you know, really be a terrifying thing. Nobody should want to go there to that great white throne judgment. So I guess the point I'm trying to say there is each of us needs to look at it now and realize that everything we're doing today and ahead of us is going to count and does count for our judgment.
Yeah, well, it can be a really hard message to hear. Like, even when I read that, I was like, I have to put stuff down and think about that for a sec. Oh my gosh, let me go ruminate on that, because it convicted my heart.
Well, I mean, conversely, the good things we do, not that we're not saved by our works in any way, shape or form, but I do think we will be rewarded for the good things that we do as well. And so they are worth it, and it is worth, it's all a test in a way, a test of our character, and we need to make the decisions day to day. What are we going to do? How are we going to react in different situations and circumstances, knowing that it, you know, the Lord is watching every move and every thought and every word that we say?
Yeah, I feel like we really need to pray to the Lord for, like, self-control and being able to walk away from sin and walk away from the things that are bad for us, you know, walking in power and victory, like, through the power of God. Because all these things are bad for us. God's not telling us not to do these things because he's trying to be controlling. It's like he knows that these are just bad for us and they're not going to lead to anything good, because he loves us. He cares for us.
Yeah, that's true.
One time I was at an airport and I was going down an escalator and it was really, really high up. And as I was going down, you could look down and see this shopping center area. And there was a whole bunch of designer posters of expensive perfumes and Louis Vuitton and Gucci and all these models and stuff, and it's looking super luxurious and expensive and rich, and there were these lights that were shining down on it. But behind all of the posters, you could see they were actually doing renovations, and there was like a trash can and broken tiles. And as I was coming down the escalator, I just kept thinking to myself, this looks like such a, almost like a popsicle stand of an illusion. You know what I mean? Because if you were standing in the midst of that, you would probably feel like you're in this really luxurious area. But right behind those posters and their little setup thing was like trash cans and broken tiles. And I really thought that it's exactly what sin is. It is such an illusion. You think it's so real, but it's literally like, it's just a fabrication.
That's a really good illustration. I can visualize it myself. And the emptiness of everything that's at, the reality behind the illusion is emptiness. Yeah, great.
You know, there is a separation of the sheep and goats going on. I know God told me that. And, you know, since we are called to be set apart from the world and not fit into the world, many times this does mean walking alone on the straight and narrow. John 15:19 from the KJV says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And this is really hard to grasp sometimes as a Christian, you know, because the world hates me so much as a Christian. I mean, not just me, but anybody who wants to choose to walk with God. It's right there in the scriptures. It says it right there. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6 of this, it says, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." A lot of this is basic gospel truth, which so many people don't want to hear, and they think it's old, it's outdated, obsolete, and archaic. But the gospel is preached so that people will not perish and be destroyed. And so that they may live and have a personal, intimate relationship with their Creator, that they may have the gospel and be saved. The gospel is the way to eternal life and to keep us from spiritual death. You know, thinking about carnal things is death. That's what the Bible says. It says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's interesting how we were just talking about following the example that Jesus gave, like Christ's example to us. And that's because we're supposed to equip ourselves with a spiritual mind. That's why I was piecing together. But the last judgment, when our final moment comes to leave this earth, not to sound negative or sinister or anything, but there will come a time where we will stand before the Lord. It says that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The small and the great will stand before God. But, we will be able to stand in front of the Lord, and we'll be like completely blotted clean. Like Satan can't say like, hey, look at all these things. It's going to be completely washed away. There's going to be no condemnation at all. But I was lost too once. I didn't know God. And it's really God's grace that he saves broken, lost people. Verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The times we are living in, there is no more time for having any part of yourself in the world. Right now, it's definitely time to be watchful and on guard and use our time the best we can. We're talking about the end of the world being upon us and the return of Jesus. This is an urgent time where we need to be in prayer and be in communion with the Father, because we all know the spiritual warfare has really been amping up and the enemy is really trying to take people down. We are supposed to be watchful that we don't enter into temptation, but I'm going to jump to verse 12, and it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. When you start seeing people turn on you, going through persecution, trying to get you to do things against God, the whole gang stalking phenomenon, the world literally turning upside down, we are not to think it strange. More and more so as we approach the last days, we will be persecuted and hated, and there still is going to be a remnant, the true remnant. Verse 13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The Bible says we are to rejoice, and I mean, that's amazing to rejoice in your trials. We don't need the approval of people when people tear us down, abuse us, or abandon us. And what I feel is it's going to be a supernatural love, the ability to love the ones that want to beat us down, just like how Jesus laid his life down and loved us while we were yet sinners. So too, it must be a supernatural love of God to love our enemies and to pray for the ones that the enemy is using. Verse 14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So when we are exploited and going through all of this stuff, being discredited, lied about, having people try to disgrace you and pouring condemnation on you for the name of Christ, just because you carry the spirit of God, the Bible says that we are to be happy because the spirit of God is resting upon you. Verse 15 says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So we are not supposed to be ashamed if we're suffering. We're going to go through afflictions, but God uses these trials for our good. I know like we've all heard about the furnace of affliction and how we're being refined like gold. I do believe we are tested and tried. Our faith is being tested. I really was amazed when I read Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And that's because these things are spiritually discerned, and we're literally dealing with people that don't have the ability to understand these spiritual things. They don't have God. They're still in the world. So the world doesn't understand this supernatural life when we are still willing to love and lives down for God, even when it does cost us. We're going through sufferings, and from 1 Peter 5:9 it says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we're all going through a lot of this. A lot of the true believers are experiencing this. And just as a conclusion, going through all this, you know, the enemy is definitely casting spells and illusions over people, just like that fake perfume ad that I saw with the posters. And as I was praying, I heard the word encumbrance, and I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up, and it's a burden or impediment, and it's anything that slows you down or weighs on you as you are running. And if you think about it, we're running this Christian race, so I really feel like God was telling me, like, we really need to start getting rid of things that are keeping us from running our race for God, for our crown of life. We must strip ourselves of the things that make our race harder to run.
Thanks. That was good, Holly. And as I mentioned earlier, it's time for us to look at all these things now, because I think our trials are probably, in many cases, going to get higher and stronger and harder in this next year and beyond, as we are in the end times and events are ramping up and a lot's going to come down. So we need to make decisions now on how we're going to act in the future, as well as, of course, our day-to-day lives at this point. So thanks, Holly. That was really helpful, and I think a challenge for all of us.
You know, one last point we can add to this, you know, about dropping things that we don't need anymore so that we can run a more efficient race and not have things impede us as we're, you know, running the race for God and all this, is Hebrews 12:1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Yes, that's really true. Absolutely. And it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, really, running this race. So, you know, we have to have this stamina to continue and run the race till the end. Well, thanks, Holly. I think that's pretty much all we had to share in this, right?
Yep, that's it.
So, folks, don't forget minutetomidnight.com is our website, and we have YouTube channel, Rumble, BitChute, and Apple Podcast channels. And A Minute to Midnight is also run 100% by donations, and a big thanks to those that help us. If anyone else wants to donate, you can do so at aminutetomidnight.com, and the music used I've written, played and recorded. So this will be the last video until I'm due to head back to New Zealand in a couple of days. So, well, I have some guests lined up when I get home, so we should have some more good shows coming up in January, some exciting ones actually. So until then, God bless, stay safe, and we'll catch you later.
Bye, guys.